If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Tuesday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. This is a two-parter. On this part, we're going to be talking about the WWE and the weekend that they had against AEW, plus Monday Night Raw, and we will also get into some UFC talk as well, as UFC 302 week begins here on Couch Potato Diary. So, thank you all so much for listening. Let's talk some wrestling. The WWE and AEW went head-to-head somewhat with King and Queen of the Ring, and Double or Nothing going down this weekend. And so I thought today would be not a bad time to look at who won the weekend, WWE or AEW. And if you're looking at just stealing the headlines and some of the conversation, I would say AEW successfully did that by lighting a motherfucker on fire. So, points for Gryffindor, I suppose. That's the only Harry Potter reference you're going to get on this one, because that's the only one I got. But I don't even know if I did that right. But for AEW, they certainly got a lot of attention with just the absolute absurdity that was Anarchy in the Arena and the entire Double or Nothing show. And again, I said on the Double or Nothing recap, available now, that this was a show that I really liked, and one that I thought was quite a bit of fun. And so, like, any critique of it is coming from a place of, I still really enjoyed this show. I do worry that so much of the conversation coming out of it was, dude got lit on fire, dude who did the lighting on fire was also hit by a bus in real life and in storyline, and was also hanging by his feet for, like, 5 minutes. So, there was a lot going on with that show. But I do worry that, again, a lot of the conversation coming out of it was that, plus how long it was, and not enough on Swerve Strickland, or the Elite actually winning, or Mercedes Moné getting her win, or Will Ospreay, or any of that, right? Like, I feel like the conversation was kind of around the holy shit factor of everything, and not necessarily on elevating the performers. And then there's a double-edged sword to that. Like, on the one side, you want your main people to feel like your main people. On the other hand, if you can sell your pay-per-view on, man, you just have to see what we're going to do when we're asking you to carve out $50 or to hand out $50. There's a value to that. And so there absolutely is a value in just having an absolute blow-away show. But I feel like there isn't a whole lot of, okay, what's going to happen next? It's just like, okay, that was insane. Cool. Where with WWE coming off of King and Queen of the Ring, it was, what direction are they going to go with Gunther? What's next in the Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch storyline? Where is Cody's next challenge coming from? Like, the rest of the topics were the focus of WWE, not just, oh man, this was a crazy show. There was a lot of, hey, this was a good wrestling show, and now I can't wait for X, Y, and Z, where AEW was, man, this was a crazy show. Mm. And so that's where the difference is to me. It's AEW, it was, I can't believe that happened, and WWE was, I can't wait to see what happens next. And neither of them are bad. I would certainly prefer the WWE one. But I don't think either of them are necessarily bad. And so for WWE, the main, I guess, summation of this is WWE, this felt like, to steal, I guess, one of their phrases, this felt like a chapter of their story. And AEW, this felt like just one big night. You know, and so that's where I think that the difference is. Again, I might be reading the situation wrong, to be completely candid, but that's just how I viewed it coming out of both shows. Let's get into what we saw last night on WWE Monday Night Raw, coming to you from Savannah, Georgia, which they told us about 85 times. This could be it for Becky Lynch, I think, is the big story coming out of this whole thing. A lot of speculation. Her contract is up, and all of the reports are that she has not signed a new deal with this company. And so that has led to a lot of speculation that she's going to go to AEW. And I do want to state, first and foremost on all of this, is that my want for Becky Lynch and for real-life Rebecca Quinn, do whatever makes you happy. Right? Like, whatever you want to do, do it. And you certainly don't need another white dude with a beard telling people what to do. So, like, all of this is just, like, that this isn't, oh, she needs to do this, she needs to do blah, 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 blah. She needs to do what's best for her and her family and her physical and mental welfare and her checkbook and all of that. Like, that needs to be 100% stated, I think, first and foremost, is that I just want what is best for the performer, and what is best for the performer is what she, in this case, feels is best for her. So, there is that. I'm allowed to have wants in this, though. And so my initial reaction of, like, what Peter Klein would like to see is her to stay in WWE. WWE is on fire. She is such a huge part of it, and she has been such a big part of it, and I would like to see that continue. But the more you think about it, the more you do wonder if AEW might make sense. A, they are certainly not afraid to just throw piles of cash at people, and piles of cash are good. So, there's that. The other aspect of it is, like, this one kind of feels similar to Edge to me a little bit. Obviously, it's not exact apples to apples comparison, but you are looking at a performer that still has a lot to give. A character that is still very much over, but maybe has reached a bit of a creative apex for now. Not to say that the character has gotten stale by any means. With Edge or with Becky. Becky could do this for the next 45 years. Be the man, come out, say a couple of things with that sharp tongue that she has, do a couple of awesome moves, and that would be that. Like, she could do this for the rest of her life, and gosh golly gee, we as wrestling fans would be thrilled with it. Same with Edge. He could come out to the theme music, which I guess he is anyway, come out, spear, whatever, WWE, sports entertainment, the hell out of it, and off you go. Could do that for forever. But if you are looking for something a little bit different, AEW provides that. I would stop short of calling it better, but this would be something a little bit creatively different for Becky, and there would be new matches, maybe not all of them new, like, oh man, Becky Lynch against Mercedes Moné in AEW. Well, we've gone down that road a time or two, but I do wonder if for her, she's just kind of done everything in the WWE and everything else just feels like a lateral move, right? Like you've done the unbeatable champion thing. You've done the Rocky Balboa story coming up from the bottom. You've done the go down and be the veteran on NXT. You have done the going up against a legend in Trish Stratus. You've done all of these different things and main evented WrestleManias and won championships and won Royal Rumbles and done all of these different things. Had amazing characters, had amazing creative, had amazing performances. You've done all of these things. Maybe it's time to just do it with a different logo behind you, right? And maybe that provides a bit of a different spark, a bit of a different adrenaline boost, a bit of a different feel to what you're doing. And so for Becky Lynch, I do wonder if all of those things do kind of lean you toward the AEW way. In terms of AEW, this would obviously be a gigantic star coming in, and one that I think can provide a little bit more versatility than a Mercedes Moné has, although I did enjoy that match on Sunday night. The promos weren't great leading into it, but I do think that match kind of got it back on track. That there would be no needing to get anything back on track when it comes to a Becky Lynch. I do also think that the AEW women's division needs substantially more focus than it has been given over the last little while. And Becky has shown that she is comfortable helping younger talent get over. And she herself is just a gigantic star. And so you could do Becky Lynch not in the title picture for a very long time and help elevate a few performers that way, get there to be maybe on a 12-match show, four women's matches instead of three, and kind of build that up that way. And so I do think there is value in a Becky Lynch going to AEW, and I think there is a lot of value for an AEW bringing in a Becky Lynch. So I don't think it is absolutely cut and dry. And when we get to this situation on Monday, if this is it for Becky Lynch, this has been a really, really good way of utilizing what I would consider at this point a legend, although it's not like the part-time legend thing that you would think of initially when you say that phrase, but I do think that they have utilized her in a very good way, and I think significantly better than Edge was utilized. And again, they're different. Becky is a consistent character, and Edge was, but he wasn't, but he was. But you look at how she is leaving things. An excellent feud with Rhea Ripley. An excellent moment at Elimination Chamber in Australia. You have that feud that I thought was good. I thought it could have got to another level, for sure. But I think, not incredibly, but you elevate a Rhea Ripley to another level, I would say. She gets another championship win, and with that, now has a good feud with Liv Morgan, and now Liv has come out of this in a significantly better place than she did beforehand, but before this feud with Becky Lynch, and we have seen the Liv Morgan character growing in this time. You then have Liv get a couple of big wins over Becky Lynch, again elevating this talent, and now that can be spun off into a different story with Liv and Dom and eventually Rhea Ripley, and help to elevate Rhea Ripley as a babyface when she comes in. So I think they have gotten, if this is it for Becky Lynch, they have got a ton of mileage out of this particular character. And so I thought they did a really good job with that. In terms of this match, it was fun. The story at the end, there was a lot of sports entertainment. Apparently, some missed the kiss at the end. I guess some showed it, some places didn't. On the Sportsnet replay, it's not on there, so that was a little disappointing and a little bit frustrating, but then I saw online that there was maybe a few other things. WWE needs to get their timing down a little bit better. They are going to the absolute millisecond at the end, and that needs to improve. They need to give themselves at least a couple seconds of breathing room at the end, because it's been a few weeks in a row where it's like, this person's won, gotta go, bye! And that's just, that's not an effective way to end your television, I don't believe. But again, with Liv's promo at the beginning of the night and her win here, she is feeling every bit like a world champion right now. And that, I think, is a really, really good thing. Damian Priest, Gunther, and Drew McIntyre have a segment. And this is a tricky balance, because you don't want Priest and Drew to feel like afterthoughts with Gunther being the King of the Ring and waiting in the wings at SummerSlam. But you also don't want Gunther to feel like an afterthought with these two guys wrestling in just a few weeks over in Scotland. But you also don't want to telegraph what you're going to do in that main event in Scotland by having Gunther just feud with that person. So it is a real interesting balancing act that they have to put on with this particular program. And I thought tonight they actually walked that line pretty well with all three of them, and Gunther just being like, okay, this is between you guys now. I'm going to leave. The one thing I didn't like, I thought this was a touch of a stumble from Priest. Overall, I thought the whole segment was good, but there are a couple of times where they're starting to try to make Damian Priest feel a little bit cooler. And like, well, is your wife going to be there? Like, that just felt so lame. He brought it back and brought back the elements of his character that I think have made him feel like a main eventer. And I do want to say he feels like a main eventer to me. But they've done this a couple times before where badass performer gets the championship, we're pushing them as a babyface, and now some of that edge gets taken away. We've seen it very recently in AEW with Swerve Strickland, and I think they've done a good job of kind of course-correcting there, but I think we've seen it with Sasha Banks in the past. We have seen it with, I mean, famously John Cena, for forever, we lost that edge that he had. Bianca Belair. The EST, she had all this swagger and stuff like that, and then it took a little bit of time to get that back in a babyface form, because they tried to do a little bit too much of the gosh golly gee, I'm a good guy as well. And with Priest, it felt like they had that a little bit. He was able to bring it back around to the badass that he is, but I think they need to stay true to the badass character and let him continue to build that way, because that feels like a main eventer, and you can do that as a babyface just as easily as you can do it with a heel. But overall, I did like this. Drew continues to come across as just an absolute megastar. His line about don't call us psychopaths, in Scotland, they just call us Scottish. That was really, really good. And I think you now have a lot of intrigue about what they are going to do with the World Heavyweight Championship at Clash of the Castle. There was a time where it would be automatic Drew was losing this because it was in his hometown. But you have the hometown thing. This would be a gigantic moment for Drew McIntyre to win that championship. But then is that the right fit against Gunther? But is beating Drew the right fit for that particular event? And what does it do to a Damian Priest character? And what's CM Punk's involvement going to be in all of this? So this feels, very up in the air going into Clash of the Castle in a few weeks. And so I think a lot of the work is kind of done in the fans' mind, but I think they can do a little bit to plant some seeds of doubt for a few people throughout this. So I'm very fascinated to see what they do with this world title. I thought the Chad Gable stuff was really, really good as well. I think they are building up Maxine and Otis great. Otis is very much over with this crowd. I do worry about these three once the break eventually happens. Like, they do all kind of feel like they need a leader, you know, like we've tried Otis as a singles star before and it didn't really work. So it kind of feels like they do need another White Knight to just slide in and save the day for them. But I don't see Sami Zayn leading them as a faction or anything like that. So I wonder about the follow up. But for now, this act and this gimmick is over AF. They have the crowd absolutely behind them. And Gable is doing a very good job of being just an absolute asshole. And I do wonder, with some of the things that Cole has said about, like, I've been in this company 30 years, I know what bad motivation is like, I do wonder if some of these are extremely subtle, and certainly not going there, but if some of these are subtle shots at a Vince McMahon. Just a thought I had. The one thing that is just a bit of is that this whole thing feels like it is kind of swallowing up Sami Zayn a little bit, and he feels like, a secondary piece of all of this. And coming off of his WrestleMania win, you don't want Sami Zayn to feel like a secondary piece in anything. Now, he is good enough that he can correct that, and these are all necessary steps, so I do think it'll be fine. But just for the next couple of weeks, it does feel like he is kind of an afterthought. Ricochet, Ilya Dragunov was really, really good, and I don't even mind Bron Breakker coming in and messing things up for them. This feels like a feud with these three, like the matches they're going to be able to have and all of that. It feels like these three are all going to be, again, the word of the day. elevated from this particular program. This feels like something where all three are going to be in a better place coming out of it, and they will have set up three different, very viable performers in the upper mid-card section by the time it is all done. Couple other random thoughts. The Braun Strowman stuff all night was really, really fun. He plays just the big monster that feels brooding, but also feels like a hilarious cartoon character all at the same time. He plays that role very, very well. Valkyria against Kairi was good, and then Io Sky after throwing a bit of a tantrum, I like seeing that frustration with her. I would love it if she breaks off from them and ends up being a babyface. I think that there is so much potential in this performer. You guys know this, like everything that I like fantasy booking wise eventually ends with Io winning a championship again. So I would like to see her on a rise, and it would be fun to be able to cheer for her for a little bit as well. The Rey Carlito match was okay, but the drama around it, I think, was fine enough that it kind of saved that one. So those are a few thoughts on what happened on Monday Night Raw. Let's move now to the world of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, where it's UFC 302 Fight Week. What's on the line this week, aside from obviously the lightweight championship? A lot of legacy talk this week. Let's get ready for UFC 302.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
UFC 302 goes down this weekend with a really fun fight on the top, as it is Islam Makhachev going up against Dustin Poirier for the UFC's lightweight championship. In the co-main event, it is Sean Strickland taking on Paulo Costa. So, what are some of the storylines that I am watching coming into this one? Well, for Makhachev, it's simple, and it seems premature, but it is about legacy. He is the pound-for-pound number one fighter in the UFC right now, in my opinion, after back-to-back wins over Islam Makhachev. And when you are number one and you beat number two back-to-back times, I think you get to like lock into that spot at number one. But the critics will say that his two biggest wins have come against a guy who he generally is bigger than. And one of those fights was coming off of short notice. Now, he did dispatch of DuBronx and kind of start this era, but this has a chance to add another legendary name to that resume and continue to build up what is already a pretty impressive run here for Islam Makhachev. So it feels early to be talking about legacy, but I think that this is going to be a dominant champion for a long time, and he has an opportunity to really add to it very, very quickly. Not to compare the two, but kind of John Jones-esque, where he came in at a time at 205 pounds, where there were still a lot of legendary names who were still viable threats, and he made them seem like they weren't because he kicked the shit out of them, but he built up that resume really, really quickly. And now, when you think about what you have here in a Makhachev with an opportunity to beat Poirier, we'll see if Holloway wants to stick around at 155. You also have the potential for a Chandler if he beats Connor, and we'll see if Connor wants that smoke at 155 pounds. We'll see what ends up coming from that. But there is, I think, quite a few contenders. There always is at 155 pounds, but there's a lot of big names that Makhachev can add to that resume very, very quickly if he actually is that guy. For Poirier, it's legacy of a different kind. The Undisputed Championship is the only thing he has yet to accomplish in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He has done it all. There is no question this is one of the great fighters of his time, especially at 155 pounds. But that Undisputed Championship has eluded him. He's lost to all of Oliveira in a title fight, he's lost to Khabib in a title fight. No shame in that game, but you still haven't been able to break through to that undisputed level. And smart money would suggest this is his last crack at it. And quite frankly, this feels like a bit of a hot shot anyway. Now, he's won two of his last three, again, and one of them is against Michael Chandler, who we just listed as a guy who could be a title challenger. But this is, I think, the last opportunity for Poirier, and it feels a little hot shot anyway. That's why I'm saying, like, the UFC, I think they understand that A, you have a massive draw in Poirier, and B, the clock be ticking on that a little bit. So I think they are really using this as an opportunity to give this guy one last crack at that, again, legacy-defining fight. In the middleweight division, it is Sean Strickland going up against Paulo Costa. Strickland coming off of one of the more impressive wins in UFC history, where he outpointed Israel Adesanya, followed that up with a loss to Dricus du Plessis, and has lost his middleweight championship. For Strickland, coming up this Saturday at UFC 302, this is all about how do you handle that loss, because this was an extremely quick rise to go from, oh yeah, this guy basically feels like a mandatory title challenger in boxing, to, oh my god, this guy beat one of the greatest middleweights of all time, and now he sits atop, and then he lost. And so, it's a really quick rise. Does he stay at this top level, a la a Chael Sonnen, for a long time? Or is it rise and then back down to kind of the middle of the card? He has been able to talk himself, for better or worse, and I would say substantially worse, into a lot of opportunities. And so I think his mouth will kind of keep him there. But in terms of like relevancy for a championship, you can't lose to Paulo Costa. You simply cannot. And so this will, if this is a loss this weekend, then it is just like one of those exaggerated bar graphs where it is up and down right away. If he can win this, it's still dropping, but it's steadying a little bit. We'll see how he can handle that coming up this Saturday. And for Paulo Costa, this is it. This is last chance saloon, in my opinion. He's lost three of his last four. His only win is against a, I don't want to say washed up, but a past his prime, Luke Rockhold. Now, he's lost to some very good fighters, but if Paulo Costa has any hope of getting back into title contention, that this has to be a win. Like, if he wants to get back into relevancy in this division, this has to do it. Otherwise, I would imagine it's PFL for him following this one. I don't see that guy anymore. I think he gave his run to Israel Adesanya, and then all the stuff after about how he was hungover from wine and all of that, it really makes you question a lot about this particular fighter. So what's on the line this weekend for a couple of these fighters is legacy, and for Costa, it's relevancy. That's going to do it for the program today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you're looking for more traditional stick and ball stuff, that is in part two of the show, which will be available shortly if you are catching this immediately, and is probably available now if you're not. So check that out. Make sure you subscribe, whether you're watching or listening. If you are listening, make sure you leave a review. If you are watching, make sure you like the video. Follow me on social media at PrimetimeKlein, and I'll talk to all of you later.